Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm back. It's Stephen Leng here.
And I'm Bobby Norris. Oh, welcome back, Steve.
Oh, thanks, babes. I missed you guys. I'm not going to lie. It was nice to be out of the country for a week.
tell me everything, because I'm living through you at the minute. When I saw your Instagram story and I saw the lemon Fanta, I thought that's when you know you're on holiday. When the Fanta lemon's out.
There's something about it. Yeah, I saw it. Well, basically, yeah. So it was quite a last minute decision anyway to go. But I'll tell you what was weird. The airport, actually, I have to be honest. That felt quite weird. Lots of big crowds. Everyone was spaced out, big crowds. There were some problems getting there. There was some problem with in the airport, blah, blah, blah. It was all running a bit late. But once we got there, Malta's like a dream. They've got very low cases. So if you're double vaxxed, you're allowed to walk around without a mask. You wear them inside. But we rarely went inside. The weather was so nice. We were sitting kind of on, you know, little beach clubs and in the town centre having a lemon Fanta or an Aperol Spritz.
And ooh, lovely.
Yeah, we stayed in this stunning little hotel and right in the centre of the capital, Valletta. And it was just perfect for like walking around. And I don't know, it just felt really nice and not quite normal, but like getting there. That's what it felt like, I think.
In terms of like a holiday before the pandemic, what's an airport situation like? Is it taking a lot longer to kind of get through and get to the other side?
You have to do lots of like proving your vaccine status, and when you get there you have to prove that you've got a test book for when you get back. So, you know, I've been tested all the time, and I'm still testing now. I'm basically going to test up to 10 days from once I've got off the flight, which will take me to this weekend. And everything's fine so far, so keep fingers crossed. Because now I'm in Gloucester. I'm in a little country house up until the weekend. So I feel like I'm fit a lot
charmers.
In 2 weeks. Yeah. How are you, Bob? How are things?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you, babe. I like everyone, just try to make the most of the stunning weather that we've had. It's just been so lovely. So any excuse to eat anything outside, whether it's barbecues, dinners, met up for friends and just had drinks, which was really nice. Kind of had like that little holiday vibe, because it was just in shorts and a t-shirt, still sat there like gone 11 at night and just still warm. As I say that, and I'm currently recording this, we're in the middle of a storm right now. It's wet rain. It's just sheets of water and the thunder. I've not heard anything like it since I was a kid, I don't think. But I think it was needed. It's been so like that muggy, humid kind of weather, which I always struggle sleeping with. Because it doesn't matter. Even if I'm on holiday, I can't not have a cover on me in bed.
Oh, really?
I need something on me, but I like to be cool. So I'm a pillow turner.
You're one of them.
Yeah.
It'd be a nightmare to sleep next to, Bob, in this weather. I couldn't be having that.
Yeah. I probably would be a nightmare. but the whole turning the pillow don't last more than about 3 minutes in heat like this. But I hate to be one of them people that even says that and complains, because we spend 7 months of the year, 8 months going on. We want a little bit of nice weather.
This is the thing. And we've had such a shit couple of months with the weather. And now it's like, I'm too hot. As you can probably see, I'm absolutely sweating buckets. But, you know, we've got to just take the rough with the smooth and enjoy it while we can, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think obviously not the storm I'm currently in right now, but I think that the heat wave's going to last a bit longer, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it certainly is where I am. We're having a little, me and my friend having a little barbecue outside once we've recorded this tonight. It's stunning. I think it's supposed to last, for at least another week, right? But then hear that it's going to be storms and rain after that. So maybe this is a little glimpse of what you've got to come next week, Bob.
At least you've picked the right week to go and have a staycation in the UK.
Yeah, true. But, you know, it's a bit of an awkward one because after this week, it's my mum's 60th birthday in a couple of weeks. I'm going to isolate, which is like a, which I don't technically have to do now I'm double vaccinated and once I've done my 10 days out from the airport, you know, but I just kind of think it's kind of safe thing to do at the moment, especially with numbers so high and I'm seeing my elderly grandparents and things like that. Hopefully all will be good. But I have to say, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've not been that up on the news this week, but there has been one story, Bob, that I do think we have to discuss. And that is, I feel like we talk about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle almost every week, but now it's like a whole new, different kettle of fish, isn't it? I don't know what you think of it. He's releasing a book. Harry is releasing a book. Now, in experience from my job, it's often, there's a lot of unintended consequences when royals release books, and perhaps what they think will happen is not exactly what does end up happening. I think it's due out in October. What do you make of it all?
You know, I'm kind of at a stage, and like you say, I do think we talk about him a lot, and there's just always so much to talk about, and we're just so interested. And yeah. I'm kind of at the stage where I think, what next? Like, nothing is surprising anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you
hear, yeah, 100%.
And it's a tough one because obviously I don't think we know, we've not had an official statement of what the book's about, do we? So we don't kind of know what route it's going down.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be like a bit of a memoir, isn't it? And so it's like him talking about his story from his perspective. I might have got that wrong. I hope I haven't. I think he's going to have the Penguin, who have signed him up to do the book, are not going to. They're going to want their pound of flesh, right? They're going to want something interesting in the book because otherwise, who's going to buy it? I mean, apparently Prince Charles has been totally like blindsided by it, and you can imagine why.
There's kind of always two sides to the coin with a situation like this, because I think depending on the route he goes with, he's so openly spoke about mental health and that's close to his heart, and by maybe putting pen to paper and speaking about his experiences could help people, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be fair, he's had quite a life, let's face it, do you know what I mean? To be born into being a prince, obviously devastatingly lost his mum at a young age. What he's done throughout his career, like with everything, like the armed forces. So I kind of think that there is a story there. I just hope it doesn't cause more. And again, this is what always cracks up, because we talk about him so much, I almost think I'm talking about him like it's a reality show now. And I feel like we just feel that we don't know if they've made up or if words were said at the Diana statue with Harry and William. But if anything has been kind of semi-resolved or if there's been sit-down conversations yet, I just hope that the book ain't going to kind of upset the apple cart again and just cause more drama with the brothers.
I don't see how he can't at least mention the fact that he's fallen out with them. They've already talked about it, haven't they, in that Oprah interview. It's not like they're afraid to talk about it. But, and I guess with the book, at least he has a bit more control over what it says, because when you're speaking freely and openly, you know, it can be, you might not necessarily intend what you say, but once it's on paper, you know, then you know exactly how people are going to construe it. Every word is going to be pored over. I mean, I have no doubt about that. The press is going to have a field day. I think I can't see that. Yeah, like it won't upset some people. But we also just have to keep in mind that he's his own person, right? And he's allowed to do what he wants.
And it's his truth. It's his story. And like you say, he's been very open over the last couple of years and has spoken out about things. I know recently in a podcast he spoke about his relationship with his dad and how he feels that's been, that there's the stuff with the Queen. So the fact that it is almost like a memoir and an autobiography, you kind of can't not put in that what's already out there, because otherwise it just becomes, well, it's a novel, and it's kind of got to talk about what we already know, which again he's always kind of like run the risk of opening up old wounds. But he's his own man, and I'm sure a lot of people will be reading it. And the thing is, I'm not the biggest of readers. I think even I'm going to buy it and read it.
Do you think?
I'm just intrigued, but is that, this is where I always say to you, it's because I feel that they've definitely stepped more into the world of celebrity now, because there's a lot of royals that could write books, no tea, no shade. I wouldn't be rushing to Waterstones to buy a copy. Do you know what I mean?
Prince of Dan's book or Prince Edward's book.
No, Anne Edwards, it ain't for me. It ain't going on the Amazon Prime cart. But Harry, I think I probably will, because of maybe what we have seen unravel in the last few years, going to America and that whole situation. And is he going to mention the baby girl's name and the whole debate of if he asked the Queen? I mean, it's going to be quite a book.
Yeah, I think the only thing is, I mean, I don't know even if I will need to read it, because I feel like all the important bits will be pored over by everyone in the serialisation in the papers the weeks before. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting and exciting to see what he has to say, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure in the day job, you'll be knowing probably word for word, and we'll probably be having to write about it for weeks or months to come.
I should imagine you're exactly right there, to Bob, to be honest. Yeah, I think you're right.
Something like that. It's not just any old little biography. Something like that, that's got potential to hang around for years. That kind of goes down in, well, it's history in the making, isn't it?
So look at Princess Diana and the book that she released, you know, all them years ago. People are still talking about that now. So, yes. I mean, obviously it's a slightly different story with her because she's no longer here, but and she can't talk about it anymore, obviously. But I do think that he's going to potentially be opening a can of worms that he can't put back in the tin once it's done.
So watch this space.
Yeah,
well, from royalty to pop royalty, have you seen the Britney stuff? Diamond ring on the engagement finger.
So apparently she might be engaged, right? But I actually am a little bit out of the loop with it. What's the deal? What's the deal? Because I saw she was like posting things on Instagram or something about her sister and stuff like that.
So I get the feeling, I think something's gone down with her and the sister. I believe it's called Jamie. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And she's now put out some kind of... She's done like an Instagram post. And I think she's been quite vocal in terms of she's asking for her... Just get this correct. I think she's asking for her dad to be charged with... What does she want the dad to be charged with? Oh, she wants Jamie Spears, the dad Jamie, charged with conservatorship abuse. So,
I mean, it's a big charge, isn't it?
She's her own lawyer now, isn't she? Which has kind of put her in a much better situation for her case.
Yeah, I think the Free Britney thing has just become such a massive deal now, hasn't it? And I think because we've heard her speak about it for the first time, and she's in control of her social media, I think, for the first time properly, we're seeing a whole different side to her and who she is and what she wants from her life. And to have been stuck in this conservatorship for 13 years and then be unable to get out of it. If I was coming up 40 and my dad was still in control of my finances, I'd be pretty angry as well, you know? Unless I was in a compromised state and I understand that she needed it back those 13 years ago, but not anymore. And I think it's quite cruel in a way.
I think if you're selling out Vegas residences, you can go and pick your kitchen colour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you should be allowed to be able to buy a £4,000 handbag if you want one without using your $2,000 allowance.
When you're making tens of millions of dollars, still going. I think that's what so many people are confused about with this. There's no denying and taking away. If this was in place and was truly needed for someone, of course, it would be a different ballgame, and none of us knows what goes on behind closed doors. But I think what we all struggle with is, it seems, how can someone have a career, be earning that money and be seen so publicly and holding down some really big primetime shows over in the States, being judges on shows and stuff like that. And then can't go DFS and pick some new kitchen cupboards.
I mean, I would die to see Britney Spears in DFS. I guess it's really a case of watch your space, isn't it, with her?
It truly is. But again, I don't think we've heard the last of that. And I don't know when we find out the actual outcome, but I definitely think it's looking like people are sitting up and listening to her a little bit now, especially now she's changed the lawyer. So
I think we'll get an outcome fairly soon. I'm pretty confident, but we'll just have to wait and see. We do have a very exciting show ahead of us today. You you did a little pre-record, didn't you, with Hate from Steps, which we'll be playing at the end of the show. How was that?
Really nice. Yeah, we did a little pre-record a couple of days ago. Caught up with H. So, end of the show. Definitely tune into that. It's a good chat. Got some great guests tonight as well, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got Kelsey Parker, who is the wife of Tom Parker, who you may know from The Wanted. She's doing some work with the Diana Awards and to talk about that with her. And we've also got Robert Van Tromp, who I believe is ready to come in. He is from Too Hot to Handle, this latest series on Netflix. So let's get him in and have a little chat about it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're right, Robert.
I'm all good. How are we doing?
Really good, thank you. Really good, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy couple of weeks, as you can probably imagine. But yeah, all in all, it's been great. And genuinely, the reception's been very good. So yeah, I mean, I can't complain.
What made you... So Too Hot to Handle is obviously... It's got a similarity to the kind of dating shows, but there's obviously quite a significant twist in that. You're not supposed to go anywhere near the people you're interested in, right? Made you want to sign up in the first place?
Well, I mean, to be honest, if I knew it was Too Hot to Handle, I wouldn't have signed up straight up. I would have just gone away on holiday by myself, you know? I mean, I was approached actually back in 2019 in Ibiza for Love Island, and kind of went through the process of that. Kind of pulled last minute, and then the same person asked me if I wanted to go on a show called Parties in Paradise, which was
which was
sold to me like half naked girls on a boat in the Caribbean, and I was like, okay, this sounds amazing, lots of booze as well, and I was like, this sounds unbelievable. And yeah, it turned out to be, I mean, there were some similarities, but obviously the massive one was obviously we had to abstain from any kind of physical contact, and obviously self gratification as well.
Yeah.
So but, when the penny dropped and you found out it was Too Hot to Handle, did you kind of think, well what did you think? Did you think, shit, I've done a wrong one here, I should have done Love Island? Where's the boat?
Yeah, look, do you know what? The first thing is, it's funny you say that, because one of the first things I did think to myself was, doesn't it look like the kind of place to be a big boat round here, you know? I can't see any boat. And that was, I was thinking, something's fishy going on around here, you know? There's no boat. And then, you know, the way in which they set it up to be like, you know, I got told on my date with Carly that it was going to be Too Hot to Handle. And the fact that I'd actually never seen the first series anyway, I was away traveling for quite a significant amount of time, so I'd never seen the first series. And so when she told me it was this Too Hot to Handle, I was like, okay, so they've changed the name of the show, it doesn't make any difference to me. But when she dropped the penny of the you know, there's gonna be no sex, no kissing and that, and I was like, I think my reaction, like, it was like, sorry, what? I was like, what is going on here? This is crazy. But it was just the magnitude of the situation, like, whereby I was already kind of like quite nervy because, you know, I had like a towel over my head going into the retreat where the dating spot was. And then this girl coming out and basically like having our date, and at the end basically saying to me, oh, by the way, what you thought you were going on is nothing at all what we're going on. So it was quite overwhelming, really, to be honest.
But it has actually all worked out pretty well for you because you've managed to find a love there, right?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? It's one of those things, and I think I wrote this in one of the captions on when I first put a photo of us two. I was, you know, you never think that you're going to go on a TV show particularly like a dating show where they have specifically selected you as kind of horny singletons around the world. And actually, you never actually imagine that you would actually find a girl who you end up being crazy about. So it's like it's really like a unique outcome from a situation where you have to do everything backwards. You know, there's no more you know, having sex straight away. It's kind of having to learn to build a genuine deep connection with someone, which is I've to be honest, I've struggled with a lot in the past. So it's definitely been a learning experience for me.
So how is it being back in reality, but not reality TV? And now away from the show, away from the cameras, is it all you could have wanted and more?
It's just such a different life, you know, whereby, you know, you might be walking on the street and, you know, you have those days where maybe you're not 100% and you haven't really showered before the gym and you're walking to the gym and then you might be like, oh, it's Rob from 2 Up the Handle. And you're just like, oh, I wish Andy caught me on this kind of day. Whereas, you know, if you're going out and people don't recognize you, you're happy to kind of like, but it's part and parcel of the process and being on a TV program that's international. So there's always going to be people that will recognize you. And, you know, even if I did have like a kind of awkward gingery kind of blondie hair dye in my hair, but even people still recognize me. So it's been an unbelievable experience, I guess. And the 2 weeks coming out have been amazing. They've been really, really cool. And people have been so supportive.
Watching it back, obviously, being on TV, you know that you film so much more than ever makes the final episode once a show gets edited.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on how the episodes have been edited? Would you say it's a true reflection of what you remember actually being there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know,
thank
it's,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's. Like you said, obviously, what actually appears on the 10 episodes is not always a genuine, true reflection of what actually happens on the show. And myself and Christina, we're actually in the retreat for a total of 10 days. And I think the filming spanned across to 21 days. So we're in there for essentially half the time. And, you know, we couldn't keep our hands off each other. We were really struggling to go to bed and sleep next to each other.
Well, you did.
Yeah. Well, obviously that was that 20 seconds that happened. But yeah, I mean, but like most of the time, like, I genuinely had to go out in the middle of the night and just take a breather and sit outside. I was like, I'm not ready for this. Like, I'm genuinely not cut out for this. Like, I thought to myself, like, I need to just take a breather for half an hour, get outside and just kind of hope that it all blows over, you know. But yeah, I mean, the whole experience, like I said, was just crazy.
Do you think that this is going to lead to further reality stuff for you? Or are you kind of happy? Are you done with that sort of side of things now? What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm always open to another reality dating show. But obviously, been in a relationship as well.
Christina might have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, not like an actual, maybe like a couples one or some sort of game show or something along the lines. But yeah, I mean, like the whole experience was everything I kind of imagined it would be and more, to be honest. Even like the way in which you're treated, you know, outside of filming and like all the kind of the chef and the cooking and the hospitality is amazing. So the whole experience, like I said, is so cool. And I definitely would do that kind of thing again, but obviously not as a singleton, more of as a couple or as a maybe like a game show, like a challenge or something along the lines, you know.
And how is the relationship going now, obviously, away from the cameras and the show's finished? Any plans to move in together?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, she's actually here right now, but I mean, we're first and foremost, we're not entirely sure where we want to live. We're actually debating looking at potentially moving to Milan and having... Which would be a little bit different to London, but having some time there and kind of not to kind of get away from it all, but we still obviously want to be very much involved in kind of the Two Up the Handle experience and kind of the aftermath of it, but almost kind of have a change of scenery and go somewhere a bit more classy. No offense to London, but
you know. Oi.
You know, so.
Go on.
To say, yeah, I'm all about the traveling as well, and any opportunity I can get to kind of get away from the UK. I mean, I've the last 2 years I've pretty much been traveling around anyway, And the fact that I've now got an exotic international girlfriend, it makes even more of a reason to go and go abroad, you know?
Yeah, how have you found it, like, the lack of travelling and stuff for the last year? Or have you managed to get away and do bits and bobs? Because, I mean, it's been quite a challenge for a lot of people, isn't it, staying at home?
Absolutely, you know. If I told you that, you know, after the kind of getting scouted in Ibiza in 2019, I basically had said to my job, I said, I'm going to go away, leaving my job, I'm going to go and travel for 3 years around the world. I'd save my money. And I was like, I'm going to go everywhere. I'm talking Asia, Africa. I want to see the whole lot. Okay. And I think it got like 2 months in and I was in Costa Rica or Nicaragua. And then I got told, it was in Central America. There was a global pandemic happening. And I was like, oh, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. I ended up spending 3.5 months on this tiny little island in the Caribbean called Little Corn Island. Had no roads, no airports, barely any people, and it was just there, like, this most surreal experience. And it just, yeah, I mean, like, that was quite different, obviously, to being able to handle, but it's still similar challenges, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange start to the pandemic.
absolutely, yeah. So the no travelling thing, it's like the biggest love I have. So, yeah, taking that away. But obviously, there were bigger problems out there. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely missed it.
And how is everything with all of you that have been on the show? Are you all in touch? Do you have, like, a two Angel Series 2 WhatsApp group?
Yeah, we have a big one. Then we have one for me and the three other lads. Me, Cam, Nathan, and Pete are probably the closest boys. They were like my brothers in there, and you know, like sleeping next to Christina and having like Cam in the other bed and then Nathan in the other bed was like, I don't know. It was like being away with your mates and your girlfriend. It was just so like, it was such a cool experience, and like that's the best way I can describe it. Like a one big slumber party in the Caribbean. You know, it was just awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about not doing Love Island? I mean, obviously it's come back and seems to be as big a success as ever. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. Like, May time 2019, I had I split up with my ex girlfriend. I was like, I'm going to go traveling by myself. 3 years, going to do it, and she was like, she was upset, but a bit supportive of it. And then a few months later, obviously the Love Island reps saw me in Ibiza, and my kind of head was a bit like, okay, well, maybe I do Love Island. I don't know. And then like I went through the whole process, everything from seeing all the producers. I had all my jabs done for South Africa, my visa application, and they told me I was starting the show in Cape Town, and I was pulled at the last hurdle. And actually looking back, you know, I'll be open and honest, genuinely that day I was actually like, I was gutted. I was like, oh, okay, I've gone through the whole process. It was like 6 stages. I was gutted. But then to actually go on a show that was probably actually more suited for me and more kind of up and coming on Netflix worldwide was a blessing in disguise, but a blessing that I didn't know at that moment in time. I was a bit like, oh, okay, I'm a bit gutted by this. But it ended up being a real silver lining for me, you know?
Everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely, yeah, it really, really does, and it really taught me. Okay, you know that wasn't for you, and this is it. And it's like that moment where I was on the plane to Turks and Caicos, and I thought to myself, okay, this is the moment now. Live it up and see what happens. Obviously, didn't know what I was getting myself into, but but yeah, like I thought to myself, what an amazing thing to kind of look back on, and it absolutely was.
And you met Christina.
And the love of my life, Christina. So yeah, I mean, I honestly can't complain. It made everything so special in there. And even the time that we spent in it, I mean, we were 5 out of 10 episodes. Yes, I would have loved to have started. Yes, I would love to have finished this the series. But ultimately, me and Christina were put in as bombshells or grenades, whatever you want to call it, as a reason. And I get that, you know, the pressure of having to deal with that date scenario was hectic, to say the least. You know, like when you've got like all this camera crew and you know you're laying there and like the sun's coming down and it's just overlooking the ocean, then you got this girl come in and it's just so intense. But I thrive on it and I absolutely loved it. And yeah, I mean, what a cool thing to look back on and say I've done. Yeah,
no regrets.
I mean, obviously, like, the difficult thing for myself looking back at it is, you know, I don't want anyone to ever say to myself or Christina, oh, okay, you know, you guys took the easy route because you're both with the grades coming in. You know, and I've always said, you know, to Christina or anyone, if Christina had started, I would have done absolutely everything I could to make sure that I was finishing this series with Christina, or made, you know, every single attempt to make sure she was my girl. So yeah, I mean, look, it just worked out to be the fact that the girl that I fancied the most came in at the same time as me. So
it's all worked out in the end.
All kind
it did, yeah. I mean, like, happy days. I mean, myself, it was looking back, you know, I think to myself, okay, you know, we're newbies, we're sharing the bed. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, okay, well, this is probably the one I'd want to share the bed with. So I was like, happy days. I was just like, it's almost like out of default, when the first night I got to share a bed with her, I was like, okay, well, this is probably the girl that I would have picked. Yeah, this is probably the girl that I would have picked, you know. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, as easy as this, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, like, yeah.
Well,
it's been amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Robert, thanks so much for talking to us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with whatever comes next.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Honestly, I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
No worries. Take care, mate. Stay safe.
Big love. See you later.
Bye. Bye.
See you later.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could do Too Hot to Handle.
No,
if I really fancied someone, I don't know if I could keep my hands off them.
I mean, it's a great concept for a show. As a viewer, but I imagine it's very, very hard to be a contestant on it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, nice guy though, and great to speak to. In fact, we have Kelsey now ready to come in, so let's get her in and have a chat.
Hi.
Hello, bye.
Hi, Kelsey. Sorry, you just caught me icing my head with my drink. I'm so hot.
It's hot in it.
It certainly is.
Blimey, mate. How are you? You enjoying the heat?
Yeah, well, not with two kids, not really.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's easy.
It's not fun.
How have things been?
Yeah, good. Getting there.
There's a lot going on at the moment, isn't there? You're working on a lot of different things.
Yes, I've got so much going on, very busy.
Talk us through some of them.
Well, it's just been released that we've been working on a documentary for Stand Up To Cancer.
Yeah.
So that has taken a lot of time up, obviously. And then, obviously, Tom is in treatment at the moment.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, do you want to explain a bit about Tom's condition and what the deal is and why you're doing this documentary?
So Tom was diagnosed with a glioblastoma brain tumour. Well, it's actually coming on a year. I can't believe it's almost been a year.
Wow, yeah, I remember when the news came out.
So we've been filming a documentary, just following us and following our journey, really, of living life with a brain tumour and having two kids and Tom being 32. So, yeah.
How is Tom feeling at the moment?
Do you know what? He's actually doing really good at the moment, so.
Oh, good. Bless his heart. How did he first find out? What was his symptoms? Because there's so many cancers out there that are spoke about where people kind of know what to look out for. But something like brain tumors, you don't always generally know. It's hard because you don't physically feel a lump. Do you know what I mean? Like as if you were feeling...
No, but they do show themselves. Like,
oh, did they?
Yeah. Tom's personality changed. I thought he could have had depression. I thought, you know, we're having another baby. I thought, is he depressed? His ears were hurting him. And he had two seizures. The first one I wasn't there for, but the second one, 6 weeks later, we witnessed. But when Tom had his first seizure, he did actually take himself to the hospital and he said, something's not right. There's something not right with me. So he did all the right things. You have to listen to your body.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the same with any illness, isn't it? You have to be aware of what you know, you have to kind of listen to if you feel different, like pay attention, definitely. Basically. How's it been filming the documentary? Is it quite intense?
And it's...
Yeah, I bet.
The thing is with me is I'm like a really positive person. So I think filming a documentary just like it's really hard because it highlights that as well, and the fact that we are quite positive and that we live our life with this positive mental attitude. And I think that's the only way that I could actually wake up and actually get through the day, because obviously I have got young kids. This has happened to us. So I think you have to try and be as positive as possible. But yeah, I think that's what our documentary highlights. And, you know, it's not all, obviously it's going to have its sad moments, of course, but yeah, it's just want people to watch it and feel positive about
a rubbish situation. Are you still filming for that, or have you finished filming now?
No, we're still filming. So yeah.
And when will we see?
And are the kids involved as well?
Yeah, the kids have been in it, and they're great. I mean, Aurelia's two now, so she's like a funny little added addition, because throughout the documentary, what you'll see is her speech has come on and how much she's grown up as well. So it'll be quite nice for us in years to come to watch back. Oh,
yeah.
To be like the home videos.
Yeah, but there's been moments where she's even closed the door and the producers' faces have been like, "No more, honey, no more."
Yes, this is what we like. She's a woman.
I love it. You've also been keeping busy working alongside online bullying and stuff.
Yeah.
How's all that going?
Yeah, so I've been asked to join the anti-bullying campaign, the Diana Award. I've run a performing arts school for the last 10 years now. And obviously I work really closely with kids. So as soon as they ask me to get involved, and, you know, bullying is just, we do so much stuff with the kids and talk about bullying. That is, for me, I was like, yeah, I want to be part of this. Please, can I come and jump on with the campaign with you?
And what exactly is involved in the campaign?
So it's just getting children to speak out and don't face bullying alone. You know, kids haven't got the confidence to speak out. I mean, when I was a kid, I was really confident. I've never suffered from confidence issues. I went to a performing arts school, and also bullying wasn't massive there because we were all there for the love of what we did. But I know that, you know, now kids don't have that at school. And I just think social media and lockdown has made it a million times worse for them. Like, I've got younger brothers, and my 14-year-old brother, he plays online and gaming. And, you know, when someone chucks you out of the game and whatever, when you're online, that could take you a month to get back on that game with someone, because with social media, it's so much harder. But if you're face-to-face, you know, you can talk your friend around and go, oh, come on, let's be mates again. So I just think, bullying's been so big through this whole COVID pandemic as well. And I just think if kids can speak out about it, if they can speak to someone like me, like their dance teacher or their teacher at school or their parents, like, I just think if we can get them to talk out about it, then they can hopefully resolve the problems.
That's exactly it, isn't it? It's like, you have to talk about it, because you can't, as a child, you can't deal with all these feelings and emotions by yourself. You know what I mean? You don't know what to do with it all. So, yeah, to speak out is the most important
thing. Even example, people say to me, how do you get through this situation with Tom? Like, how do you wake up? How are you positive? I said, because I speak about how I feel. If I'm worried about something, I can verbalise that and say, oh, I'm worried about this situation. If I talk to my mum, and she'll go, right, just calm down, this is what it is. So I just think a problem shared is a problem halved. And I just think if you have got any problems and you can speak out about it, then people are around to help.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's just, don't face it alone. That's what the campaign's about. Don't face this alone.
Absolutely, because there's always going to be someone that can listen and someone that can relate. And unfortunately, so many people are going through it, and it's not an isolated occasion. So it's a great campaign. It's telling kids that they're not alone, and just speak out, and hopefully it'll make them feel better.
Yeah. Hopefully it will help, because I think we're going to get a lot more of this bullying situation. So I just think, if we can do something about it now and nip it in the bud, then hopefully something can be done. Like, it's just such a hard situation.
How have your kids kind of dealt with, obviously, not only with Tom's issues, but obviously with the pandemic as well? How are they coping through it all?
Because you think as well, like, Aurelia being two, that she doesn't pick up on stuff. She picks up on everything.
Really, really.
Like,
yeah.
Even the day that Tom got diagnosed, we came back. We didn't cry. We didn't do anything. She was just on one. Just she could just read the emotions.
Yeah.
It's just she's been okay because I think where we have had loads of stuff going on, she hasn't suffered with like being in on her own. But obviously, my son Bodhi was born. He's 9 months. He's not been to one class. He's not done anything. Whereas she did the whole baby sensory and got to have new stuff. He's starting swimming lessons for the first time in September.
I've had a friend who had a baby right at the beginning of the pandemic, and she said that she was worried because her daughter hadn't met any other kids.
Yeah.
She was like, it's just such a weird setup, and that's not normal, is it? You know, like, right. So
we run a stay and play, so like a mother and baby group, and you'd be so surprised the mums that come and their kids haven't even met people before.
Jeez, I mean, that's terrifying when you say it out loud, isn't it?
Yeah, literally, they come and they're just be in the corner. Or I had a mum came and she had a 4-week-old baby and she said, I know my baby's not old enough to go on any of the soft play, but can I come? I said, yes, this is what this club's about. Like, come, speak to us. Like, yes. She was in such a state about, like, you know, having this baby and not having anyone to talk to.
Oh, God, it's just horrible. I mean, the whole thing.
Just the whole knock-on effect of everything that's gone with this pandemic. It's just snowballed, isn't it? And as everything, sometimes, as someone who's not a parent yet myself, I guess, yeah, you don't even think of them side of things, that kids haven't even met other children yet, or they're missing out on what they would have been doing. It's just so sad.
What we did for our kids that attend our performing arts school is we put on a class called a positive energy class, which they signed on, and like obviously on Zoom, and we spoke about their feelings and how they were feeling, and now we actually do it in real life with them, because I just think
if
they can talk about it, you know, even if, when we was doing it on Zoom, it was like, they were going, oh, we stayed in our pyjamas all day. Like, because they were doing it online and it was like we were sat here and we're not doing anything. I said, right, so set a goal. Wake up at 7 o'clock, eat your breakfast and put some clothes on for the day.
Like, get ready. Like, act like it's normal and create a normal environment. Yeah, totally. I get that.
Some form of routine. It's helps really so important. Much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just the kids for us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and actually I learned that during the beginning of the pandemic. You know, at the beginning, I was just getting up and doing my job in the day and just but once I started to put a routine into it, then I started to feel better about myself. And yeah, kids would be exactly the same, I should imagine.
Oh yeah, when I had Bodhi, I was literally in this rut that I was like getting dressed at like 12 o'clock. I wasn't getting like up, but then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm literally wasting the day. So I had to get up, get the kids dressed, get myself dressed and like get a routine going. I was like, what am I doing? Yeah. I'm just wasting life.
We've all been through it this last year and a bit, haven't we?
Yeah, we really have.
Well, Kelsey, best of luck with the documentary and with the Diana Award. It sounds like a great campaign.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for joining us. Send our love to Tom, won't you?
I will do.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Bye.
Oh, what a lovely lady. And
lovely.
Must be very difficult dealing with what she has to deal with Tom, but she's doing it and she's doing it well.
Absolutely. Oh, bless them.
Well, we've got H coming up now, can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Hello, H. How are you, babe?
I'm really good. I'm on a multitasking mission. I'm literally on full-on dad mode. How about you?
I'm really good. Really good, thank you. Thank you for making the time in your busy diary. I know you're hectic to have a little chat with us.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I'm spinning lots of plates. I'm juggling lots of balls, but life is good.
Yeah, it's good to be busy though, isn't it? I think, especially now there's light at the end of the tunnel, but keeping working is good. I know you've got kids as well. That must be a whole other element of keeping busy.
Absolutely. I mean, there is keeping busy and there is full on. I mean, the last year and a half has been relentless. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've worn many hats. I've been teacher, you know, breadwinner, cook, caregiver. So I'm not going to lie, I have earned my stripes and I will fly the flag. Absolutely.
I mean, do you know what? Whenever I had little bouts of kind of, I hate even saying the word boredom, because I felt guilty for feeling bored during the 415 lockdowns we've had over the last year and a half. And I thought, Bob, you've just got to sit at home and watch Netflix. There's people out there that are homeschooling, they've got children, or people that are working on the front line. I thought, gosh, so I actually used to feel bad for getting a little bit bored in it all.
that's part of your reality. And you know what? People dealt with the situation in many different ways. I know that mental health was a massive issue over the last year, and people suffered, you know, in so many different ways for different reasons as well. So, but that was your reality and you dealt with it, you know, appropriately.
How did you find the various lockdowns with having two young children?
Oh, wowzers. Well, it was hard. You know, like I've reeled off a list of things that I became, and it was all very unexpected. The one thing I found was that I needed to find time for me. And I never really got that because, you know, luckily my kids are sleepers, so they sleep all night. So they were up at 7, but I didn't have, a respite until, you know, 8 o'clock at night. So I was last in the pecking order. I was, you know, literally the one that ate last, you know. So as long as their needs were met, they were happy, then I was happy.
And you've been able to keep busy still working via Zooms, I guess, like a lot of us. What would we have done without Zoom? I'd never even heard of it before this panny day came about.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's a bit temperamental. I've done a lot of my interviews. You know, I was chatting to Holly and Philip on this morning once, and, you know, the link went down. So, you know, there are a whole array of technical errors that can happen. But thank goodness for the internet and, you know, and technology at our fingertips. I wouldn't have lasted otherwise.
And also, so many people in our industry and so many of the arts have been really affected, like with theatres closed and everything, and touring. I know you have rescheduled. You're back in October with the Steps Gang, aren't you?
Nearly, almost. We are a year postponed, so almost to the day. So we've been given the green light, and the tour is going ahead in November. So the whole of November, we're touring, and we have the album, which is available to pre-order now, but it's out on the 10th of September. So, yeah, we're super excited.
And are you looking forward to get back in on stage together? Did you have, like, Zooms, Step Zooms?
All of that stuff. But, you know, before all of that, I mean, because you're not a parent, Bobby, you don't realise this, but today is the last day of term. So it is literally all guns a-blazing now. So we're talking holidays, and it's tough because of the year and a half that we've had. I need a bit of respite. I need to go on holiday, and I need to know that my kids are stimulated and catered for as well. So if they're happy, then I'm happy.
And tell me about this, the holidays. I know you're very keen to speak about, for single parents especially, after the last year and a half and everything, trying to organise holidays, what goes with that and what's involved. So tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, the traditional family unit has changed. You know, families come in all shapes and sizes, and they have all different kinds of needs. So I've teamed up with this incredible company called Vrbo. So it's VRBO.com. And they cater for non-traditional families to go on holiday. So I went on the website last night with my kids. And I said, because they're at an age now where they can actually be involved in choosing where they'd like to go on holiday, I said, where do you want to go? And they went, we want to go to the moon on a rocket. Bobby, I can't make that happen. But on the Vrbo website, you know, there are incredible, magical options. You can stay in a hobbit house. You know, you can rent a castle if you want to blow the budget. You can stay in a converted double-decker bus, or, you know, live in a tree house. So there are so many different filters on the website that cater for your holiday. And as long as they're happy, like I said, then I'm happy.
Oh, how amazing. Lovely to have, like you say, all that possibility and all them options. I mean, obviously, the moon's not on the green list. So you could just have to say to the kids, Boris can't allow the moon. No. But I love the idea of a hobbit house or a tree house. Anything that's a little bit, oh, my God, and memories, making memories for young kids in properties like that and locations is going to be amazing. Have you decided where you're going to go?
Well, I mean, you'll definitely find me either in a hobbit house or swinging from a tree. tree house, rather, sipping gin.
And I see this company that you've teamed up with specialising also doing bigger groups, is that right? So for taking other adults, for people that might not have children but are travelling together?
Yeah, well, they specialise in non-traditional families. So whether you're a single parent, and whether you're a bigger family, whether you're a blended family. I mean, when I go away, I take my parents with me because I need that extra support. But if I went on a holiday, usually I would have to book two apartments, and that becomes astronomical in price. But where Vrbo exceed is where the, you can actually rent whole properties, like I say, you know, a hobbit house, but nearby, you know, you can make sure that there are things, activities that are child friendly. So, you know, splash parks, water parks, nature trails. And then when they go to bed, you can dive in the hot tub and have a little gin and tonic. So you
and
know,
have a J&T.
Yeah, all of my boxes ticked.
And I mean, of all the years, this is the ideal year for that, because I know so many people that are doing staycations. So many people don't want to run the risk of booking all this, like we've seen that's happened to Portugal, it's now happening to Ibiza, for things are turning amber, all this traffic light system. Actually, you know where you stand with the UK a little bit more, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we are planning on doing a staycation just for those reasons. I'm not comfortable with doing that with my family. So, yeah, we're just going to opt for the safe option. So, yeah, you'll find me in a converted double-decker bus.
Oh, my God, I love it. H, I wanted to ask you, obviously, a couple of years ago now, broke history, really, with Dancing on Ice. First male partner, two guys together. How was that for you?
It was something that I had campaigned for a long time. You know, whenever I was put forward for a reality show or something quite demanding that required a partner, I'd always ask for a same-sex partner. And I was always denied or declined, and I never got the job, probably for that reason. And then serendipity, you know, all of the stars aligned, and I met with the producers, and I said this time, you know, if I'm going to be considered for this, then I'd like to be my authentic self on television and represent my community. And they went, absolutely, yeah, let's do it. And if I'd had that when I was, you know, a young lad growing up in the Rhondda Valley, you know, isolated with no, you know, representation or diversity or quality on television, you know, life would have been very different for me. So I guess it blazed a trail, you know, and lots of people have followed suit, and that splash has made huge ripples, and ripples have become waves across the world. It's incredible.
It truly is. And I think it's so important. I've seen, we've seen Strictly have followed suit by having a same-sex partnership a year later. And I believe reality shows, like all things on TV, be it soaps, whatever, have to show a true reflection of society. And I think it was about time. And I'm so glad that that's happened now, because so many people, it opens conversations. The amount of tellies that's on in front rooms, you know what I mean? And shows like Strictly, Dancing on Ice, they're multi-generation shows. So people sit there with parents, grandparents. And I just think it's such a great thing. Reality TV-wise, is there a... I mean, you've done Big Brother as well now, Celeb BB.
Yeah, done that. I mean, that's no more, but I think it may come back. I mean, it's too good a format to say goodbye to forever. But I, you know, I think my physical days are over. Saying that, I'm going to be doing flying trapeze tonight, so I lied.
How did you find Celebrity Big Brother as a reality show? Because I guess when you're Dancing on Ice, you're learning something and you're getting to go home or back to a hotel. In Big Brother, that there's no going home, is there?
Yeah, do you know, it was a very different game, a very different beast when I did it. There were no social media, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, you know, you weren't as accessible as a person. So what you saw was what you get. Whereas these days, you know, a massive part of it is, you know, cancel culture. Also, you know, the trolls, the bigots that can just say anything they want to without actually being verified, you know, by opening an account. And I'm all for that. I think you actually should have be ID verification to open an account, a social media account, because it's just absolutely not on. There should be filters on websites to saying to filter if you're saying anything derogatory, if you're a bigot in any way, or you're giving false information. You know, there's so many filters they can put on these websites, but they don't.
Absolutely. So from someone that's done two reality shows in two generations, really, so Big Brother, no social media at all, to then Dancing on Ice, social media being the beast that it is now. Did you see a difference being a celeb competing on them shows afterwards in terms of, well, there's the whole troll inside of social media now. And I've spoke about trolling for so many years since I started campaigning to kind of put an end to it and make it a crime. But I'm always conscious to say there's far more good in the world and on social media than the bad. But the bad does exist.
Oh, totally. I mean, the positive completely outweighed the negative. But, you know, some people took it upon themselves and took time out of their day to actually complain to Ofcom that they had seen two men holding hands dancing on ice. I mean, come on, there are bigger and better things to worry about and to complain about. So the positive way outweighed the negative.
I mean, you have to feel sorry for people that feel the need to get their MacBook out and start typing an email to Ofcom about two men dancing on a Sunday night on ice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we were hardly snogging. I mean, we were holding hands. I mean, yeah. If I wanted to snog him, I would have.
So tell me, before I let you go, because I know you're a very busy man, you mentioned new albums coming. What can we expect as Steps fans from the new album that's about to be released?
I am super excited, and you probably would expect me to say that anyway, but I really am. I always say if I wasn't in Steps, I would love Steps, because I love great pop music. And the new album, What the Future Holds Part 2, is available now for pre-order, but it's actually out. You can actually get your hands on it on September the 10th. And we've got some hidden gems, some surprises nobody knows about yet. So I'm super, super excited about it.
Oh my God, I can't wait. And one final question I've got to ask. Obviously, in terms of what you've been speaking about with the holidays and the company you've paired up with and being good for single parents, have you done much dating during the lockdowns? A Zoom date?
No, I haven't done a Zoom date. No, because I'm a single parent, that's the last thing on my list. Absolutely not. So, no, when I put my kids to bed, my date is a gin and tonic.
I don't blame you. Don't blame me. But thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Bobby. Lovely to see you. And maybe we'll go for a drink. How about that?
Let's do it. Me and you, gin and a slim.
Yeah.
Perfect. Take care. You have a lovely day and enjoy your holiday.
Take care. Thanks, Bobby. Bye-bye.
H, bye-bye.
Well, that was great to hear from H, and great to have him on the show. I think we've had a couple of people from Steps now come on over the years. What have you got coming up this week, Bob? Anything exciting?
So what is this week? What have I got? So I've got I don't even know.
You've got a quiet week. That's what you're trying to say.
No, I don't. I know I haven't, but I don't know what. I know it isn't quiet, but I've got something. I'm working, but I know I've got something work related.
Let's say a secret project, Bob, and then we can move on.
Secret project, something work related, but I've just lost all. Do you know what it is? What's thrown me is actually that I've realised it's my birthday's in August, and I've realised it's really not that long away. We're almost out of July now. Getting into August, it all becomes a little bit scary. How about you, obviously, on your holidays for the rest of the week?
I'm on this for the rest of the week, and then back to work next week and isolating. So not actually that fun, not that much coming up, but, well, the rest of the holiday is fun. So all good. Just keeping my fingers crossed that I stay negative until I go see my family. That's the most important
thing. Fingers and toes crossed for you, babes. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Indeed. Well, I guess thanks to everyone for being on the show tonight. Really appreciate it. And until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to Access All Areas. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.